In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to Beck, a mum of two and an awesome pea.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
You know what? It's cold.
It's definitely turned today. Yep, I've got shoes on.
Yep, I've got UGG boots on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yep. I was wearing like thong slip-ons. I was like, no.
Like icy cold this morning when I went out to go to school and I was just like, whoa.
I know.
Cold. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's.
It's refreshing.
It's after, autumn.
Yeah.
So we have to, we know what's coming.
Yeah, we do actually. 9 months.
But not yet. We're going to have some more sunny days first.
Yes, yes.
Promise me.
Anyway, we've got a fabulous P to talk to today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Morning, I'm Beck. I have two little boys called Henry and Kieran. I live in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I follow Carlton for my sins.
Oh, blue bagger.
Oh, you'll be glad. You guys are going really well. I mean, I don't know when this episode's actually coming out, so you may have lost a few games.
Who knows?
We
might be, you know.
You've got to keep the lid on.
Round one and opening round tested the blood pressure.
Yes.
Oh, so you're a big fan.
No choice.
Yeah. Oh, right, family.
But when you're not, family. Like, you know, I barrack for St Kilda, we lose a lot. But watching the other games that don't, quite fun when you don't barrack for them, right?
Yeah.
Games like, wow, they're really playing. Yeah, who's going to win? You know, stressful when you're winning by a point.
Yeah. And did you, like my husband said to my girls, if you don't back for the Bombers, you'll have to find a new family. Is that sort of how you talk to your boys?
No, I got lucky. I married a blue bagger as well.
For you.
Was it luck? Or was it?
Do you meet the cheer squad?
No. And then the kids really, I mean, Henry went to his first game at 11 weeks and Kieran went to his first game at 7.
Okay, no choice. So they're in.
No choice.
Well, hopefully they're coming into some good patch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's Melbourne's other religion, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yes, it really is.
No choice down here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get started with our questions because we could talk about footy all day.
Please don't.
So our very, very first question that we ask everyone is, do you have a song or a band or favourite music or something that lifts you up when you're feeling a bit down or pumps you up when you're happy?
A woman who's making headlines. Pink is my go-to.
Ah. Well, I think Melbourne's her second home.
Yeah, have you been? Did you see
her? Yeah, and I've seen her. That was third or fourth time.
Yes, great.
And is she still flying around the roof?
She is, and anyone who's been there before sits there going, yep, time to fly, so everybody knows when it's happening now. The element of surprise is gone.
But it's it's the element of awe of this woman and her body
incredible.
Her fitness and she.
And she's singing and she's flipping and you're thinking, no. And she's 42 or something.
Yeah. Incredible.
And there's an element of jealousy, I think, as well.
Yeah, you want to do some flying.
I mean, I don't really want to do that.
No. She must be scared or she mustn't be anymore.
She must have just done it. She must really trust the system.
Yeah.
Because I think if you trust something, it's like, I would be like, I'm going to fall.
Oh, terrified.
Yeah, and I'd just get head down. I wouldn't be able to get up. I'd just be hanging there.
What's your favourite Pink song?
Cover Me in Sunshine got us through.
Oh, yes.
That sticks to you. Both kids know all the words, and I think even if you just listen to it, it was totally, it suited the time.
Daughter singing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it's just nice. And anything else you can shout along with, and she's good for that. Yes, she says she just doesn't write soppy music, and Cover Me in Sunshine was probably the soppiest she got.
Yeah, interesting. So good.
Awesome, yes. I do like
Pink. I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah.
I went last time and, I just remember thinking she's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about, did you win any awards at school?
I was a music kid.
Music is its own reward, isn't it?
What did you play?
When I played flute, I sang in the choir and I played piano.
Same. Wow. It's the trifecta.
Yeah, we're all the same.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the flute girls.
I tried the violin. But it sounded very much like a cat being slowly, slowly killed.
Yeah. That's what they all sound like. And apparently you just have to push through. But do you?
No.
The flutes aren't nice. You remember the spit falling out the end?
At the beginning. Oh, yeah.
Dripping out the end.
Disgusting. Got to get that thing. Yeah, got that cleaner thing.
Can you imagine how dirty that cleaner thing was? Ugh.
I have it. And I'm like, I don't really want to clean the inside of it because I don't want to look.
Yeah, disgusting. Okay, so you're a music kid, so no awards in the music department, or?
Nah, not really. Just the good old participation. Yeah, you did more than you should.
Yeah.
Good on you, flute number one.
Did you do exams?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was sort of, but there was no one cared. No one cared. Apart from your mum and dad.
Yeah,
no
I got
one
up was to like, grade three, AMEB. Piano? Yeah,
I got up no one cared. I think I got up to grade 7 on the flute.
That's amazing.
Or grade 6. Oh, I was a Christian. I had no choice.
You were going to be good no matter what.
Yeah, that's right. Keep going. Having those exams. I hated them.
And do you still do music now, like in your spare time? Or
I still play piano and Kieran's following. So the piano is still here. The flute, I want to try again. But the breath just isn't, the fitness that was there when I was 14.
Are you on the recorder? I can slay the recorder because it's the same fingering. I'm give me that, Mary had a little lamb, bring it here.
And there's no spit involved.
No, less.
Much less. There is a little bit.
I love the recorder.
Yeah, I love the recorder too.
I told you, I played it in church, and then when I came with the flute, they all said, oh, thank goodness. They couldn't say thank God, but they said thank goodness because we didn't want you playing recorder anymore in the band.
And schools have stopped doing it because we damaged them all.
Have schools stopped doing it?
None of my kids have left the recorder. Oh, none of them.
Mine did.
No.
Because I just remember the twins hitting each other over the head with it thinking this is going.
No, not one of my girls. No, it must be public schools.
Oh, yeah. No, we still recorded.
Anyway. Okay, so no awards. You're one of us.
No.
Fantastic.
Okay, now our favourite question. Why are you a P or part of the P community?
Why am I a P? It's probably a two-pronged P. I have a husband P and I have two children Ps.
Tell us.
So I'm unusual in that, I guess. So I'll start with Luke. Luke was born with a congenital deformity of his left hand, so he doesn't have any fingers.
Yep.
And until we met a very lovely surgeon in Melbourne, he also had a dislocation in his elbow.
Right.
Which gave him a lot of grief. And then the surgeon came along and went, we can fix that, and did.
Good.
How long have you been living with that, with the dislocation?
30-odd years.
Gosh. So did it just used to pop in and out and hurt him?
No, it was permanently out.
Oh,
so was he in pain?
It got there, yeah, and that's what tipped it.
Oh.
And things like riding a bike weren't.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
If your elbows.
So that wasn't really there. So Steve came along and went, oh, yeah, that's easy fixed, and did.
Thank you, Steve. Wow.
Yes. Very grateful to him.
Okay. Does he have a thumb or is it all the digits?
It's sort of half a thumb.
Mm.
A bit, so yep. Enough.
Yeah.
And then nothing from knuckles on.
Yeah. Got it.
Mm. So, but Luke doesn't know any different. And if the fingers were there, he'd be a lefty. So if you watch him hold scissors like a lefty with the right hand.
Yes, right.
Holds a pencil like a lefty but in his right hand.
Yes, got it.
Brain is kicks with the left foot. So brain is definitely a lefty.
So he's had to really rewire himself.
Very much so. But knows no different. So
Yeah.
What a legend.
That's probably the joy. Mm. And then I've got Henry, who turns 8 in May. Henry was diagnosed with autism just before lockdown in Melbourne when he turned 4. And then a year later, ADHD joined him.
Mm-hmm.
So those two went hand in hand. And then I've got Kieran, and Kieran's the one from left field. So Kieran's now profoundly deaf in one ear.
Mm.
And wears a hearing aid, so a Baha for a bone conductor.
All right, yep.
He's got the same. And Kieran's got developmental coordination disorder, otherwise known as dyspraxia, which is the old name.
Got it.
We're old. So yes. Now we're like, yes.
Okay, so they're changing the terminology from dyspraxia to developmental coordination disorder.
Yep.
Right.
But it's...
And
brain doesn't talk to muscles. Well, it does, but there's a mixed up messages.
Oh.
They don't they sort of take instead of a straight path, they take a wiggly path.
Okay.
So I want to ask more questions about that, but let's go back to your Henry.
Yeah. Before lockdown. Diagnosis.
How many were we like March getting the diagnosis? Were you like, okay, that's it, all your support
March
services 12th? Are now. Yeah.
I think it was like April something.
Right.
It pops up on Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook makes good and bad.
Yes.
It was around the beginning of April. And lockdown worked for us because everything went on to telehealth.
Yes.
On a big long waiting list.
Interesting.
So therapy started straight away.
Were you the one that you were trying to find out this diagnosis, or was there kinder teachers, or how did that all come about?
It was we think he's anxious, and then a very eagle-eyed GP went, don't think it's anxiety. Okay. I actually think he's autistic.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Which is unusual for a GP to make that sort of statement, but he's got an interest. And then, went off and got assessed, and sure enough, but I think we always knew.
Right.
It wasn't a surprise. Yeah.
Okay. And once you got into telehealth and all that sort of stuff, what were the first sort of steps?
So OT and speech, and they both used to exhaust him.
Mm.
So speech, he's got a vivid memory of him actually falling asleep in the chair I'm sitting in on telehealth because he was so tired.
Much focusing.
And more than we'd ever asked.
Mm. Right, mm. Yes.
And there's a photo of him and he's fast asleep, eyes closed.
Oh, baby boy.
So well and truly asleep.
Oh, God.
But I think what was helpful was it gave us a guide because we didn't know what to do.
No. And I suppose some support. Yeah, like you're in lockdown, so you can't even hang out with other families or friends or support groups. Or so you're like, okay, I've got these people that I can talk to over Zoom, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. It was. I mean, there was amazing parts. I think telehealth is an amazing thing that has come out of lockdown.
Definitely.
It has. It was
overdue. Yeah.
As was the Facebook groups, because you then, like you said, you suddenly went and looked and went, hang on, there's a whole community. And those communities flourished.
Yes,
they did.
We couldn't leave and we couldn't go to a physical place. So we were all online.
Yeah.
So if you put a question out and went, oh, my God, what's this? They then somebody got back to you very quickly.
Mm. Yeah, incredible, actually.
Yeah. And so how old was your What's the age gap between your boys?
18 months.
18 months, right. So was were both diagnoses happening at the same time?
No. So Kieran's been hearing impaired since Kieran was 4 months old.
Right.
So we knew something was there, but didn't get a hearing device until he's had the hearing device two years this August.
Right. So he was. When you say 4 months, did he pass the newborn screening?
Passed the newborn screening.
Ah, interesting.
And then we went, I can vacuum in your room when you're asleep in the cot and you're not even twitching.
Yeah.
And that's not normal.
Yeah.
So we were initially told, oh, he's just a second child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so much common explaining, thing, isn't it? Some of it's true.
Yeah, some of it is true. Yeah.
Some of it is true. So because of that, and no, he's just sleeping through. He's just, you know, he's the second child. He's used to noise.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, no worries. And then again, GP got the tuning fork out and he didn't react.
You got a good
And she went, oh, he's not just a second child.
Yeah. How did that feel?
I had similar path, so wasn't a little bit of a surprise, but given his age, it was a bit like, what do we do with this? Yeah. How's speech going to develop? And he couldn't hear me. Right. So all the sounds, he could hear Luke.
Right.
But all the women's sounds, so that kind of different pitch, he couldn't hear me.
Right.
I think that happens to a lot of men.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it could be that. Setting himself up for later.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I'm not joking about that.
No, it's okay.
So,
it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually for a mum that would, I'd be like, what the hell? You should be able to not hear. I'm the one who's nurturing you and holding you and,
yep.
I mean, not that that's all families, but I think a lot of families, newborn babies are nurtured very much by mums. So, yeah, were you like, well, that's not fair?
There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of, oh, but what we also noticed was there was a lot of distress when we couldn't see mum.
Yes, oh. I need to have a line of sight.
Of course. Because he couldn't hear you pottering around in another room.
Yeah.
You know, because they rely on hearing mum in the kitchen.
Yes.
Or hearing mum putting stuff in the laundry or, you know, just doing mum things.
Probably never thought about that. I have never thought about that. Which is a big rectum
comment. Yeah.
But, yes, probably. Yeah.
So, and we then moved to a double-story house. So if I was downstairs and Kieran was upstairs, that was just not on.
Oh, yeah.
So because, again, it was that extra barrier of, well, where are you?
Yeah.
So we worked around it.
Yeah.
And so were you straight in to get the bone conducting hearing aids?
No.
We tried
a couple of surgeries first.
Right.
He's had a couple of rounds of grommets. He's had a hearing. He's had his eardrum fixed a couple of times.
Right.
Things worked.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went, let's stop putting you under anesthetic.
Yeah.
And try the bone conductor, and then the hearing loss has subsequently gotten worse.
Right.
And it goes from there. So at what point did you also say, I feel like this hearing is not the only thing that's, you know, making him not a typically developing child?
When there was lots of falling over.
Right.
So Kieran also wears glasses, so thought, we'll go and get glasses and see if he stopped falling over.
Yeah.
He did. He sort of stopped falling over for a little bit.
Okay.
But climbing the stairs was harder, running was harder. You know that lovely developmental milestones line that they whip out, and Kieran was, you know, 6, 12, 18 months behind.
Right, yes.
I hate the word behind.
Yeah.
And the physio started going, he's not sort of doing what he should do. First pediatrician told me it was because he didn't sleep well.
Right.
It's always good to put a little bit of the blame back on the parent for their ability to get their child to sleep. And not everyone knows Mandy. So,
Kieran had no trouble with sleeping, so I went, don't like that.
Yeah.
So took him off to Henry's pediatrician, who I love Paul. He's as blunt as a 2x4.
Well, with a name like Paul, I feel like he has to be.
Yeah. He's very good, but he calls it how he sees it.
Yep.
Watched him run and went, this is your problem.
Really?
Yeah. He was very fast and he was very accurate. And then with him and the physio and the OT did a big assessment that lasted 6 months.
Wow.
Wow.
Because it's new and they base a lot of it on work that's come out of the UK and Canada.
Yep.
They're still working out. And with DCD, it affects your motor, your speech. So they have to look at everything, your organisation skills. Mm. It's not just how your muscles work.
Right.
So it was a big assessment and it went on for that long. And sure
did
enough.
They say that's what we're assessing for? Like, did they tell you that? Yes.
Did he have an MRI or anything? Were they checking first?
No.
No?
Okay. They didn't check. I did bring that up. Mm. I said, you know, because Kieran was a few weeks early.
Mm.
So, and with my sort of nursing background, I went, sure, it's nothing else.
Yeah.
And I said, no, we don't think. And he doesn't have any other signs of it.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah, but it's always worth
it. But he had everything for this.
Yeah. Right.
So were you then madly Googling?
Yep.
You can't help it.
No. You can't, especially not when it's well known here.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think even, you know, my children's age, you know, I didn't even have Google when I had my first child. And then by the time we had the twins, we did, but they'd be like, oh, stay off Google. But now you're like, nobody stays off Google.
No, of course
not. You know, and we sort of are a bit wiser to go, oh, that's a blog. That's just someone's opinion.
Yeah.
This is published by the University of New South Wales. I might, you know, like I think we're a bit more savvy than it used to just get on there and see this horrific stories and they're not even, but I would Google too.
There's a very small but active community in Australia and they are incredible. And the other unique thing with this is it's heavily slanted to boys.
Right.
A lot more boys with this problem than girls. It does happen in girls, but boys, it's a lot, it's sort of a bit more common in boys.
Oh.
So it's great that, you know, there are other people living it. And it's simple things like it took Kieran until this year or late last year to ride a bike.
Right.
So that coordination of getting a bike, even though, you know, he could get the coordination, there was the strength, and then you've got a plan where you're going to turn the bike. There's so many elements to riding a bike.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's very difficult, actually.
It's very difficult.
It's really hard. So
even with typically developing children, and Buzz and Woody were
very able.
Very able.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had that lived experience. But even with any of my kids, when I'd watch them trying to do it, I'd think, I don't think you're going to be able to do this.
No.
Like, just it's too many things. But they do, of course. But, yeah.
So it's good when you hear from people going, yeah, my son, it just took a bit longer.
Yeah.
And we tried this. Yes. And we tried that. And you're thinking, thank you.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's that there's a lot of focus, so they tend to struggle a little bit with PE at school.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
It's a big part of Australian schooling.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of focus on what you can and can't do.
Yes.
And they sometimes are the kids that are picked last for teams because they're not
great. Yeah.
So,
that's
what I want. You know, there's
I
a
want
lot
a
of chat
that says I was picked last.
Yes, Kate. Yeah.
I want the gang. I want us to all unite and go, you know what? I'm quite fine at 50, but
both
I was
my
picked
girls,
last.
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
My
last and
last.
Second last.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's heartbreaking.
Yes, it is.
So it's. And there's a lot of chat about what you say when your kid comes home and says, oh, I was picked last.
Oh,
all
right. Well, mine just cried in my arms.
Are we going to look, I'm a long time out of junior school, okay. Well, me, myself, but also my children. Is it changing?
I don't know.
Like, surely teachers hate it too. I can only imagine being the teacher going, oh, bugger, you know, whoever's going to get picked last again. Like,
I'm sure they're not doing those lineups and pick them anymore. I'm sure they're just going 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Sure.
Don't you reckon?
But I think sometimes other kids do get to choose. Like, okay, Mandy, you can be the volleyball, you know, captain. And you're like, well, I don't want Kate.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's sports days as well. You know, they try their hardest out, but they're not going to win the race.
No.
But you know what?
There's a lot of focus on how you tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, it's hard. So they're both at school now in grade two and grade one. Oh yeah, okay, yep. And what's school been like with those diagnoses?
School's good because school's routine.
Ah, yes, of course.
Oh, that's good.
So routine is just key to keeping these two happy.
Yeah, right.
We know what comes next and we know what comes last and, keeping engaged can be tricky, but the school have been excellent. So in sort of keeping their brains going as well as their bodies going.
Yeah.
Kieran's school have adopted Auslan this year, which has been amazing.
Great.
So, because he's one of five hearing and hard of hearing at his school. Yeah. So
they have a deaf facility or?
No. Just the way it fell.
Yep.
So, and Auslan's just been amazing because the kids are all, they're like sponges. They're picking it up twice the speed of the adults.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's given them a whole other communication way.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an Australian language.
It is.
Yeah. And my daughter's school had a deaf facility, and just when they signed the national anthem, I cried for like 13 years every time they were signing the anthem. I just thought, this is beautiful.
And do they quickly, like when I ever had a friend who was from another country, I just learnt the swear words. So is that what they do?
Yeah.
I think that's what they'd be. Someone would be like, you know how to sign shit? I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you this one, Kate.
Mandy gave me the finger.
Or they've learned silly. Oh, silly poo.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Silly poo's pretty good. I think that's quite a burn. Yeah. You're not just a poo.
Silly poo.
And they've learnt that a few years ago because when we learnt Kieran sort of his hearing was going to be a long-term issue, we thought, right, we might just start learning.
Yeah, yes. Great.
So the two of them, one would be in the pool at swimming lessons, the other would be on the side, and they'd be signing silly poo back at each other.
Awesome.
Good.
Right, you know, distracting each other.
Yeah, which is really fun.
Yeah.
They've used it to their advantage.
Is there many other children that are autistic?
That you I'm not sure. Know. It's not talked about.
No.
It's still very taboo.
Mm.
I think it's.
Good point.
Yeah, I think it's not talked about because obviously everybody has an opinion on it. And so parents, because I was the same, I am out and proud, but I was also like, I don't really want you to judge my child before you've even said hello to them.
Yeah.
And I wish that would change. And I think there are parents or everybody around the world, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you think, oh, our values don't really line up. I'll just avoid that little conversation. Or like as adults, we're better able to do that.
Yeah.
So we're constantly protecting ourselves or our children or others. So, yeah, that may be just the way it is. I don't know.
But Henry will quite openly tell you.
Yes.
My brain's wired different. But we've never hidden anything from kids. I was actually asked that this morning was, you know, is Kieran aware? And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't believe in hiding it.
No.
Hopefully
that's changed. I have a very close friend whose daughter was diagnosed at 15 as ADHD. And the mum decided, I'm not going to tell her and it doesn't really matter. And she has had a really, really tricky 15 years. Mm. Really, really tricky. And has had, I would say, flirted with addiction issues and all sorts of other things. And I'm not making light of that because addiction is huge in my family. Mm. I have a brother who's a heroin addict. It's not quite like that, but just coping mechanisms she was using that weren't healthy and went to the doctor and whatever and got diagnosed and rang her mum and said, oh, this is what it is. And her mum was like, oh, well, we just didn't tell you. We didn't want to limit you or hold you back. And she's just like, oh,
yes,
I could have known this about myself my whole life.
Yes.
So, yeah, very powerful to know how your body or mind or whatever works.
But it's also about the language you use. Mm. So it's not that you're less of a person.
No, of course not.
Zoe Hayden wrote that amazing book about you're different and not less. And that is so true.
Yes.
That you're not any less. You just got a different brain to the rest of us.
Yeah, that's so right.
I reckon every day I say, tricky's not bad.
No, it's not.
It's just tricky. You know, we get these mindsets that,
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Now, you said in your email that Henry has been diagnosed as gifted.
Yep.
Yes. How do you get that diagnosis? Yeah. What happens?
Lots of psychological testing.
Right.
So, extra stuff. And we had a suspicion when he was diagnosed ADHD, and then sent him off to school just to see, you know, because sometimes things show up and you want sort of a year of school behind them.
Mm-mm.
Did it again last year, and he at grade one, he was doing grade five maths.
Wow.
And he's reading at a grade four level.
Right, yep.
But like most autistic children, showing he frustrates teachers because, you know, he'll get to the answer in maths, but he won't want to show you how he got there.
No, well, so, I agree with that.
I do too. Why would you want to be bothered?
Yeah, I don't disagree. And yeah. It's frustration on both their parts.
Yes.
Wow, I know the answer. Well, how'd you get there? I don't know. I just did it.
Yeah.
Well, you won't be able to do that in year 12. Well, I'm not in year 12, because
I'll skip year 12.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like when I'm 18 or 17 or 16, I will have more of a comprehension of what grading things mean. And, you know, you can, they do know how they get there. But I remember being frustrated with that in maths too.
And we don't have experience with giftedness. So
no,
can you
don't.
Tell us a little, some of the challenges of that? I mean, obviously there was one, maths.
Engagement is a challenge.
Yes.
So if Henry gets bored, you lose him.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So his teachers have been good. So he has his own book box.
Yep.
Just to give you an example, he's on the last book of Harry Potter at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
what grade are you two?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's eyeing off Percy Jackson next.
Cool.
So we've planned the next eight books.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Got to be in the game.
So I think we've learnt how to keep him engaged. We've learnt that, you know, learning doesn't stop at the end of the school bell, but it's also things like, hey, let's go to the aquarium.
Yes.
And Henry will rattle off everything about a manta ray.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's in his brain and it stayed there.
Yes. And I think there's a little bit of that. I mean, I don't want to generalise, but I know that Buzz and Woody, if they like a topic, they really remember that thing, and I can really like a topic and I do not remember it. Like, it's like this amazing superpower to me that it stays in the filing system in their brain. Like, I'll Google the same thing three or four times and I'm like, that's right.
Yeah.
I cannot remember. There's this big road being built in Melbourne that is like, when I drive up to Falls Creek near Bulleen, sorry for those who aren't local, there's this big tunnel project. I cannot remember what it's for. I drive past and go, all right, I'm going to remember that. No, gone. But I think... like Buzz and Woody, they'd be like, yeah, it's for this and that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Our brains just
work with Henry, there's no special, like he has his special interests.
All of them.
But it's everything.
True.
Like, there's certain things like the football and where he could rattle off stuff that happened to Carlton 2 or 3 years ago, but he can also rattle off stuff that he's seen at the aquarium 6 or 7 months ago, even though it's not special interest. It's just there.
You know that he is going to kill it at university trivia night.
Yes, he will.
He is going to be the absolute star. I pick his table. I pick you.
Yeah.
You can be on my team.
Yeah.
It comes in handy for us.
Yes.
Because like you said, we don't remember anything.
No.
He didn't really know that road. If I said to him, do you know the tunnel? That's his champion. But yeah, Mum, it's this and this. No worries.
Is he aware? Does he know that he – because you don't want to – scholarship was very bright. And so I was very careful about giving credence or status or something to that was outside of – that made her – I'm trying – I don't know how to quite word this, but you're not better than somebody because you can blah, blah. So does he just think, oh, I like reading and some of these kids just like playing with whatever? Like, or does he – is he aware?
I think he's a little bit aware because he knows, like, he finishes work ahead of everybody else.
Yes.
Or, you know, it's the different book box. Well, nobody else has that box.
Yes.
So there's an awareness to a point. In kinder, it was a problem and he was bullied for it. Because he knew the answers to things or, you know, what's your favourite animal? And everybody else went cat, dog, chicken, manta.
Yeah.
Where do manta live? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 5-minute monologue. So there is an awareness.
Yes.
But it's not something we ram home.
No.
But we don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I know I've got another very good friend who listens to the pod sometimes, and her child is incredibly gifted, has just finished year 12. But she was like, he also has autism, but she's like, the giftedness was just so tricky to manage going through school and to do the age-appropriate learning. Because yep. just because you can learn about X, Y, Z, you know, and she was like trying to get teachers to extend sideways, like to incorporate yeah. more things about manta rays instead of, all right, then we can go on to learn jumping, about.
Yeah.
yeah. Like I think that yeah. would be really hard.
It has been a frustration and it will be. We just accept it. Yeah. And I think it's just you're very careful, particularly with high school, what type of school
yes. people.
Yeah, you're going to have to think about that.
And there are select entry schools. I'm assuming they're all around Australia, but I know in Melbourne there's science ones and,
yep.
you know, that you can get into and hopefully then find other kids or young adults that are also interested in.
Well, he'll find his tribe. I mean, yeah. he's got his who don't care that he finishes ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
Or they don't, if they notice, they don't say anything.
Mm.
And I think that's important mm. as well. So, you know, he's got his safe little group who know that he's a little different but who don't mind and yeah. don't care. Treat him any differently to the next kid.
Mm.
Perfect.
And that's all you can ask.
That's it. Yeah.
So
you told me in the email about your husband and getting on the NDIS and yep. about how you have magnets on your doona cover and how that's life-changing. Yeah, he's like that. Has that been like for him getting on the NDIS as an adult, and what are the things that have helped him?
It was a battle to get on.
Right.
I will be open and admit that NDIS disputed that the amputation was lifelong.
Oh, right.
person entering that, I'm assuming it automatically gets entered and a person hasn't gone.
No, that was an actual human.
Okay, no. All right.
I'm not laughing.
I know. I'm laughing at the absurdity. Yeah.
Oh, like it, but this is NDIS.
Yeah. I know, strengths and weaknesses.
And we got the health minister involved.
Right. So, wow.
Just went to the top.
We had to go that far. And even though he's not our local member, and it was Greg Hunt, not my politics, but very nice man.
Yeah, right. That's right.
All of a sudden, Luke had no problems.
Wow.
Which is awful. It's awful we had to do that, and it's awful because.
But it's actually worth knowing, right? Because it wasn't until someone said to me when I could not get through to Centrelink and I couldn't. Because Buzz and Woody are a year older than everybody who's in year 12, there was all these tricky things about my Centrelink. And they were like, email your local member. And I was like, what? Soon enough, the local member calls me or someone from their office, and Centrelink rang me the next day. And I was like, it just doesn't enter my mind to go to that level. But actually, That is what they're there for.
That's why they're there.
Yeah.
And that's what his office told me. He said, this is what we do.
Yeah, which shocked me, which shouldn't.
So what other things was he able to access help with?
So all of a sudden we had prosthesis.
Ah.
So riding a bike, an attachment to his hand that he could ride a bike.
Fantastic.
Play golf.
Oh.
He hits the ball so hard he's broken the golf prosthesis twice.
Oh. He's so happy to be able to do it.
Yeah. But it's what else did they give us? At that time, the kids were in a pram, so pushing the pram was quite tricky for Luke.
Yes.
So we had a prosthesis got attached to the pram. So it sounds really silly, but to him it was a big deal that he could push the pram with one hand and carry the coffee with the other.
Yes.
Oh, gorgeous. So,
because he can do it.
Yes. And it's independence.
Cutting things that meant that he could never peel potatoes.
Mm.
Such a simple little thing.
Yes.
Opening cans.
Yeah, that's what Molly's life is like. Yes, definitely.
Mm.
It's those really everyday things that just were either really hard or impossible.
Yeah.
The magnets in the doona cover came from me because I got fed up because I'm always the one that has to change the bed.
Yes.
But he can't hold the end of it. Mm. And I said to his OT, come on.
Right.
So
I feel like, you know, there's Jam the Label, we had them on. There's a few other companies now that are like, and I know Cooper, DJ Coops, like it means that he can just put the jacket on.
Yeah, the magnetic shirt.
So great.
Awesome.
Yep. And people like Tommy Hilfiger make them.
Yeah, cool brands.
It's And, you know, you've got zippy shoes.
Yeah.
So laces were a problem.
Yes, of course
they were. Laces were a problem.
That's right.
But Karen as well. So
yes.
All of a sudden you've got shoes that look the same as everybody else's.
Yes, but so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know when my husband was on the NDIS, he has a severe hearing loss. He only got on the NDIS in his late 40s. He was like, I've never asked the government for anything.
Yeah.
You know, yep. And just hearing him say that was really, and then we had disputes and anyway, of he course. Won in the end. But hearing him say, I've never asked this damn government for anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, yes, you're right. Not for him personally.
And I think yep. if you had.
I think as an adult.
Yes. It's a piece of money.
Yes.
You would just go do it. Yes. So it's literally, I can't do this. But, you know, this huge, big, amazing country of ours, they can do it.
Yeah.
And we all pay taxes. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's forgotten because a lot of the NDIS is focused on children.
Children, yes, no.
So many adults have benefits as well. So many.
Yes, who have lived a childhood without any of this or yep. adolescence in their early working years, all those things, to now be able to access some help is what, you know, fantastic. Mm. That's what we want the NDIS to be for, robust and working for everyone who needs it.
And interestingly, you know, you think as a parent you're just an advocate, but to watch all these adults
yes.
fiercely advocating to get themselves on yes. the NDIS, you're like, okay. Yeah. You know.
Because they've gone, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, look what I missed out on.
Fierce advocacy yeah. required for disability, sadly.
Oh, enormous.
Yeah, enormous.
Yeah, it's a full-time job. And
he went into it going, they're not going to give me anything. I'm like, trust me, we got to try.
Give it a go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yep, yep. We'll give it a go.
We will give always a round of applause to the NDIS.
Yep.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's changed a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's a good thing.
So what are the things that the boys do? Like, do they do any sports? Do they, yeah?
Henry's an Irish dancer.
Oh, yes, that's right.
How did that come about?
Yeah, tell us. Do you have Irish descent?
Yeah, so Henry and Kieran are both first generation Aussie on my side, so right. I wasn't born here.
Oh, right.
And so the whole background, my side's Irish.
Yep.
And we went to a family day on St. Patrick's Day and saw a dance school that was local to us dancing, and Henry went, I'll give that a try.
Oh, amazing.
And that was when he just turned 3.
Wow.
So he's coming up to, yeah, he's been, no, he would have been 2 because he's up to his 6th year of dancing.
Wow. 2.
started competing last year.
Wow.
So, which is a huge thing for a kid like Henry to get up on stage
yes.
and dance in front of a couple of hundred people.
Wow.
And to have that pressure of a competition, but he thrives.
Soft shoe and hard shoe or?
He's soft shoe at the moment.
Yep.
Hard shoe next 12 months.
Right, right, right.
It takes a little bit longer.
Yes.
But hard shoe, you never dance.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
I have a lot of Irish. My dad's Irish. So, yes, we, all the cousins, soft shoe, hard shoe. Yeah.
It all.
It's all beautiful.
Yeah.
All of it.
It is.
It's stunningly beautiful dancing.
It's also very routine, which is why it's.
Right, and learn the routines. Yeah.
Learn the routines. There's an order to the steps. There's an order to the music. There's quite a number of neurodiverse children that do Irish dancing because there's very little flexibility with it.
Yeah. It's not hip-hop. Steps
that must know.
Right, right.
Probably why it suits him.
Yes, and why I'd be like, I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
I started learning this year because a group of us adults, and we are finding it so hard.
So hard. For scholarship's 18th birthday, I did a flash mob. Oh, that was the hardest thing I've done in a really long time, learning that dance.
It is so hard as an adult. You're just like, how do you remember all of this? And, you know, they remember multiple dances.
Yes.
Oh, I know. Fantastic. And so what happens with competition?
Usually goes down and he competes up to 6 dances on the day.
Oh, wow.
And then sometimes he'll do another dance with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get results and, yeah, it's about half a day. And then usually the rest of the day for Henry is spent doing not much.
Recovering.
Because it's overload.
Yeah.
and we just give his brain a break. He competed in Sydney last year.
Wow.
He's competing in Queensland this year.
Fantastic.
So he loves it.
Yes.
But the only reason we let him and do it is because he loves it.
Yeah, of course. Great. You're not a dance mum, I don't think.
No, but this is what peas do. Just go to the far ends of the earth if there's something they love and they're good at.
Yep.
And it gives him some esteem. Yeah.
And he's made friends. Oh. He's learned things. You know, it's opened his eyes. And then, you know, he does a fair bit of sport on top of that as well. So it's sort of one feeds to the other. He's a better footballer because he's got strong legs from dancing.
Ah.
So he claims it makes him kick better.
Maybe. There's probably a lot does. Of, lot of
probably right. He's probably right.
Underknee movement in Irish dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And what about Kieran? Does he do anything?
So Kieran just started theatre school. So he used to dance, didn't really like it. I think didn't like it because of the routine.
Yeah.
And it's tricky.
So it's polar opposite.
Yeah.
We're in theatre school. We sing, we dance, we act. There's no routine. And they put on a performance twice a year, and Kieran's in heaven because Kieran's my little extrovert.
Right.
He likes the stage.
He likes the centre of attention.
Yeah.
Look, nothing wrong with that.
No. No. Maybe we're a bit like
maybe
that.
Maybe we are.
We wouldn't have podcast otherwise. Kieran just loves entertaining people. He's singing and dancing, and if there's music, Kieran's gone.
Yeah.
And there's no pressure on his body to keep up with certain routines. Yeah, no. Great. Open-ended stuff. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no strictness to their dancing.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, you move your body to, there's probably a bit of routine, but it's not the strictness.
Yeah. And if you're not doing massive competitions and you're doing it for fun, then it's, you know, it doesn't, it's not, and that's it's not the
good
pressure.
For him. Good for him.
So how many nights a week are you doing all this? This sounds like a big commitment.
About four.
Yeah.
And you throw therapy on top of that?
Yes. Yeah, and you work.
And I work.
Yes, and you.
Yeah, so you're busy mum.
Apparently have a life.
Yeah.
Do you?
It's funny. It has taken Luke and I probably up until the last 2 years to get a life back.
Yeah.
And I talk to a lot of parents in the same boat, and Kieran at the moment's doing a deaf program through the AFL. So they're doing AusKick, but for kids who are hard of hearing.
Right.
And you talk to a lot of the parents, and they're the same around the age of when their kids turn 5 or 6, slowly got their life back, got their hobbies back.
Yeah.
You know, started going out a bit more.
Yeah. It's when you can leave the house without massive planning. I don't know if I'll ever leave without Band-Aids, but, you know, is there – I even remember with my typical children, the first time you go out without a nappy bag, you're like, I've just got a bag.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. You do feel naked. No pram?
Yeah.
So I still go out with a pram, but even then it's less, and that even feels weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to
managing
out a pram for Kieran, and – doesn't always need it now.
Yes, he's getting some stamina.
So, yeah, and I mean, like I said to you guys, this hasn't stopped us. We took the kids overseas.
Tell us about that.
Where did you go?
We went to the US and Canada for 7 weeks.
Cool.
Wow.
So took a lot of planning.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Took 6 months of prep with the OT. But we didn't want to stop them. We didn't want them to miss out. So. Yeah. It was just the way we look at it is we tailor our life to them, but at the same time, we don't hold back. So we might go to the football, but we know where the sensory room is at the MCG.
We know where it is. We can leave early and
And we know we carry fidget toys. We carry, you know, the headphones. So we just adapt to whatever it is they need to go out and be part of the community. We do it.
Yeah.
Same when we were traveling. So Disneyland were amazing.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, they're so good. And they've got these signs everywhere about, you know, this is really loud or this ride's not so loud or like headphone zones where they recommend if you've got headphones, you put them on.
Fantastic.
And
just normalize it, right?
Yeah.
Just information.
It normalizes it.
Yeah. And I think as adults, you know, if you said to me now, okay, you've got to go to, I don't know, Chadston, which is a big shopping centre in Melbourne, I'd like, okay, I need to get my mind into that. But then we expect children to know what's going to be there before they go. So to have all those signs and to say, oh, lots of people wear headphones here, lots of just, yeah, amazing.
So, and I think overseas, look, I won't lie, there were a few little meltdowns. It was a good day where, you know, Henry spat out the ADHD meds and didn't tell us.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And the hearing aid was left in Montreal.
Oh, no. That's catastrophic.
And when did Kieran bring it up? When we landed in New York.
Oh,
Did you get it shipped to you?
So it made its way home.
It did. So we had no hearing aid for the rest of the trip? Oh, gosh.
We had 10 days no hearing aid.
Oh, gosh.
Which probably it was for Disneyland, so it may have worked.
Yeah, it was less loud. Yeah.
Less loud, but still, yeah, landed in New York and he went, oh, the hearing aid's in the room.
Oh, gosh.
I can feel the same.
I can feel it.
So it beat us home by a day.
Okay.
That's good.
I still got home.
Yeah.
His hearing aid's been eaten by the school lawnmower.
Yep.
It fell off and then next thing you heard, crunch.
Yes.
So you just roll with
you
it.
You do, actually. I remember a school announcement said there's a missing hearing aid on the oval and everyone out combing the
they
oval.
Did they find it?
I don't know. I don't remember, but we just walked and walked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they found it. No.
Kieran's hearing aid has been found. It's been lost before on the oval.
Yeah.
And grade fives and sixes with the help of icy pole bribery found
it. Yes, yeah. Because, you know, it's equipment and they need it.
And it's a long time to get another one. It's not just the cost.
My husband, his fell out the back of his riding because he's a cyclist. He had him in his back pocket. This is a long 20 plus years ago, so he never takes them anymore. Yeah. Fell out the back of his pocket, car rode over them. Yeah. And we never had enough money to have a second pair.
Yes.
Whereas now we do have a second pair. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not something you can whip out of your
back pocket. No, it's not.
Oh, here's another one.
No. And they're specifically, you know, tuned into your hearing loss. It's massive.
Yeah. You can't just buy
like the glasses at the chemist. Yeah. No. Oh, well, Beck, you've told us a lot about your precious family. Is there anything that we've missed that you want to tell the world about your beautiful family?
We're not any different to any other family.
No.
So, I mean, if you walk past us in the street, you're going to think, Kieran, she's got a brightly coloured headband on, and until you look close, you won't know.
Yeah.
And but, you know, families like ours, we are everywhere.
Yes.
I think that it's important for people to know that we are everywhere.
Yeah.
And that sometimes we might do things that look a bit different or behave a little differently, but, you know, we're not scary.
No, of course not. No.
So, I am a little bit.
But you know, well, you are. But also, people shouldn't be afraid to do things just because, you know, their kids might just be wired differently to the next child.
Yeah,
that's right. Aww. And if you find something that works, bliss.
You know, you're younger than us. What an awesome generation of P-mums that are doing so well.
Yes.
Getting on board, accepting these kids straight away and just saying we're going to do whatever we can to make this life as best we can.
Mm.
You know, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
You've done a terrific job, and especially in lockdown. That must have been really challenging.
Mm.
Oh, thank goodness for those daily walks.
I know.
To get out of there. Gee.
Yep.
Never. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And,
go Blues.
Go Blues.
Of course I'll edit that out. Go Saints.
Thank you, Beck.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.